Hello everyone, and welcome to Colbún's fourth quarter 2016 conference call. My name is Sebastián Moraga. I am the CFO of the company, and joining me today are Miguel Alarcón, our Deputy CFO, Verónica Pubilla and Soledad Errázuriz, members of the investor relations team. I hope that you have received our fourth quarter earnings report and an earnings review presentation that we have prepared to complement the analysis of our figures. Otherwise, you can download them at the investors section of our website. Agenda for today on slide two is as follows. We will begin talking about the highlights of 2016 to then analyze in detail 2016 results. After that, we will provide an update on our growth opportunities. Following the presentation, there will be time to participate in a Q&A session, and questions will be accepted in either English or Spanish. Now please go to slide number four to review 2016 key facts of the company. The current hydrological year in Chile has presented extremely dry rainfall and ice melting conditions, being the driest of the past 6 years, resulting in a low level of hydro generation. This contributed to the company having a deficitary position in the spot market. The lower hydro generation was partially offset by an increase in thermal cost-efficient generation with, first, natural gas, given the ample access to LNG due to existing medium-term supply agreements with local distribution companies, plus additional volume acquired through short-term contracts. Second, higher coal generation explained by the high availability of Santa Maria 1 during the past year. In this line, it is worth mentioning that after the fire that affected Nehuenco 2 on June 28th, the unit is back in operations. The unavailability of Nehuenco 2 had limited financial impact on Colbún's results, considering the average marginal cost during the second half of 2016. Regarding La Mina hydro project of 34 MW of installed capacity, as of December 2016, it accounts for a 98.5% progress, which is according to plan. Finally, as part of a strategy to optimize its financial structure, Colbún prepaid debt for a total amount of approximately $500 million, improving its credit metrics and maturity profile with no relevant debt payments coming due until 2020. Now please go to slide number five to review the main consolidated figures of the company. Consolidated EBITDA as of December 2016 reached $602 million and a net income of $205 million. Further analysis will be provided in the upcoming slides. At 2016 closing, financial investments amounted to $667 million, $414 million lower compared to the same period of last year, mainly due to the prepayments of debt performed during 2016 and the CapEx of the period. Due to the prepayments of debt recorded during the year and the higher EBITDA, net debt to EBITDA ratio decreased by 12%, reaching a figure of  1.7x, and the average long-term financial interest rate measured in US dollar is 4.9%. Colbún has a total installed capacity of 3,852 MW, where Peru accounts for 570 MW. In Chile, 49% of the installed capacity is hydro and 51% is thermal. Now continuing with the presentation, please go to slide number six to review some highlights of the year. The current hydro year in Chile has presented extremely dry rainfall and ice melting conditions, as previously mentioned, being the driest of the past 6 years. The hydro condition has not been uniform throughout Chile, where the most affected basins by lower rainfalls are located in the southern part of the system. In this line, Colbún's hydro generation during 2016 decreased by 26% when compared to the previous year, reaching 4.8 TWh. The lower hydro generation of the period was partially offset by higher efficient thermal generation, allowing Colbún to meet 98% of its commercial commitment with baseload capacity during 2016. On its part, revenues for 2016 totalized $1,436 million, a 9% increase compared to the revenues of last year. Despite the lower hydro generation, EBITDA as of December 2016 reached $602 million, compared with $583 million in 2015. The increase in EBITDA is mainly explained by Fenix EBITDA contribution, higher revenues from regulated customers, and a decrease in the cost of thermal generation. During 2016, as mentioned before, we performed some debt prepayments, which accounted to close to $500 million, which comprised the prepayment of a H local series bond and two bank loans who had original maturities in 2018 and 2021. With the above, financial debt reached $1,710 million, which is lower by some $500 million when compared to last year. On its part, cash decreased by close to $414 million, mainly due to the prepayments mentioned before. And with all, our net debt decreased by 10%, amounting to $1,043 million. Now, I will turn to Veronica, who will speak about the main drivers of last year's results and operations.
Thank you, Sebastian, and hello to everyone. Please move to slide 8 for a review of the main financial figures of the period, starting with a physical sales and generation balance analysis in Chile. Total generation reached 11.3 terawatts as of December 2016. Decreasing by 11% compared to the same period last year, mainly due to a lower hydro generation because of the extremely dry rainfall and ice melting conditions previously mentioned. The lower hydro generation of the period was partially offset with efficient thermal generation. Physical withdrawals as of December 2016 reached 12 terawatt hours, 4% lower compared to the previous to the same period of the previous year, mainly explained by lower sales in the spot market, partially offset by higher sales to unregulated customers. Despite the lower hydro generation of the period, Colbún recorded net purchases in the spot market of only 11 gigawatt hour during 2016, compared with net sales of 1.3 terawatt hour registered in 2015. Given the above, the generation mix of 2016 allowed 98% of the company's commercial commitments to be supplied with base efficient energy, hydroelectricity, coal, and natural gas. Now please continue to slide 9 to analyze Chile's EBITDA for 2016. First, revenues as of December 2016 reached $1,220 million, down by 7% compared to December 15, mainly explained by lower sales to the spot market and lower revenues in the other income account, mainly explained because 2016 includes a non-recurring income of $22 million as a result of the insurance compensation for loss of profits due to the failure in Blanco power plant in January 2014. Raw materials and consumables used as of December 2016 decreased 9% compared to December 2015, mainly explained by lower fuel costs. Without, EBITDA decreased by 6%, reaching $546 million as of December 2016. Now, please continue to slide 10 for a review of the main financial figures of Fenix, starting with a physical sales and generation balance analysis. The analysis presented below compares periods prior to the acquisition of Fenix in order to provide a better view of the unit operations. Thus, Fenix results for the year 2016 are presented only for comparative purposes. In cumulative terms, thermal gas power generation of the company reached 3.7 terawatt hours in line with the same period last year. Physical withdrawals from customers under contract as of December 2016 reached 3.2 terawatt hours, down by 18% when compared to December 2015, explained by the end of bilateral short-term supply contracts during 2016. Spot market balance reached net sales of 514 gigawatt-hour during 2016 versus net sales of 524 gigawatt-hour in 2015. Given the above, 100% of the company's commercial commitments were met with own generation. Now, please continue to slide 11 to finalize Phoenix EBITDA for the period. To analyze Phoenix EBITDA for the period. First, operating revenues from ordinary activities of as of December 2016 reached 217 million, in line compared to December 2015. Raw materials and consumables used decreased by 5% compared to the previous year, mainly explained by lower associated operating costs and other disbursements made in fourth quarter 2015. With all EBITDA totalized 56 million as of December 2016, higher when compared to the EBITDA of 49 million recorded in the same period of the previous year. Mainly explained by lower costs associated with the operation of the plant. Now let's move to slide number 12 for the consolidated non-operating income and net income analysis. Non-operating income as of December 2016 recorded losses of 102 million versus losses of 88 million as of December 2015. The higher loss is explained by, first, higher financial expenses due to the recognition of the expense of those activated disbursements associated with the placement of debt in Chile that was prepaid during the year. Second, non-recurring income recorded in other profit loss for 11.5 million as a result of insurance compensation for the physical damage associated to the failure in Blanco power plant of 60 megawatts of installed capacity in January 2014, received in third quarter 2015. These effects were partially offset by the effect of the variation of the local currency to U.S. dollars exchange rate over temporary balance accounts in local currency and higher financial income from accrued interest from better investment rates. The company recorded as of December 2016 a net income of 205 million in line with net income of 200 million as of December 2015. Now, continuing with this conference call, please go to slide number 14, where Sebastian will give you an update on the status of our growth opportunity.
Thank you, Veronica. And continuing with the conference call, as we have mentioned before, we continue searching for growth opportunities in Chile and other countries in the region, such as Peru and Colombia, in order to maintain a leading position in the power generation business and to diversify our sources of income. In terms of our local projects, we announced in 2014 the construction of La Mina. The commissioning of the project is expected in the first quarter of 2017, and the estimated capex, as we have mentioned before, is approximately 130 million, including the transmission line. The project accounts for a 98.5% progress, which is according to plan. An important milestone achieved during the quarter was the successful commissioning of the high voltage line, the completion of the construction of civil works, the water testing of the adduction channel, and the stator assembly in the unit 2 of the machine house. Regarding the San Pedro hydro project, in June 2015, the environmental impact assessment for the changes to the project was submitted, being initially accepted into the process by the Environmental Assessment Service of Los Ríos region. However, in August 2015, the authority decided to early terminate the process due to the lack of relevant and essential information. The decision was confirmed after the company filed an administrative appeal with new information. Notwithstanding the foregoing, the company is analyzing the observations for Promote Public Services in order to collect and prepare a timely response with technically founded information required by the authority. In parallel, we continue with a broad, explicative, and clarifying meeting process planned with municipalities, communities,
neighborhoods, regional authorities, and indigenous communities, among other stakeholders, in order to re-enter the new environmental impact assessment with the project adjustments during 2017. In regard to Guayquivilo-Melado Hydro Project, it is a complex located in the basins of Guayquivilo and Melado rivers in Colbún's municipality in Linares province. The project considers a total installed capacity of approximately 310 megawatts and an average annual generation of approximately 1,590 gigawatt hours. The project includes a transmission line of 220 kilovolts to inject energy in the system, with a total extension of 95 kilometers from Guayquivilo power plant to the connecting point in the Ancoa substation. As of December 2016, the project has completed the feasibility stage, and now it's beginning the preparation of the environmental impact study. The hydro project Los Cuartos is located in the Biobío River near San Carlos de Burén locality, about 5 kilometers upstream intersection with the Panamericana Sur Highway. This hydropower plant has water rights that allow it to achieve a capacity of approximately 90 megawatts with an average annual generation of approximately 500 gigawatt hours. The project also considers an 8 kilometer transmission line to connect the power plant with Mulchen substation. During 2016 progress, the company completed the pre-feasibility study and the main works revision. Additionally, environmental baseline studies were initiated, leading to the preparation of the project's environmental impact study. As of December 2016, this project is in the feasibility stage. Finally, regarding our coal-fired Santa Maria II thermal project of 350 megawatts of installed capacity, the company has been doing in the past years is still analyzing the social, economic, and commercial dimensions of the project in order to analyze its future development. With this, we are concluding Colbún's fourth quarter results review. Thanks for listening, and now we are open to answer your questions.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please key star, then one on your telephone. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply key star two. So just to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please key star, then one on your telephone. The first question is coming from the line of Jose Burmester. Your line is open. Please proceed.
Hello, good morning, and thank you for taking my question, Sebastian. I have a couple of questions regarding the new projects. First one, is Santa Maria still an option? Because Mr. Keller gave an interview in the press on December last year, and he talked that Santa Maria was not going to be developed. Is this a change in the forecast?
Hi, Jose. This is Miguel Alarcón. So effectively, Thomas gave that interview. What we can say is that in the near future, we don't see Santa Maria 2, I would say, in the pipeline. Having said that, we still see value in that option, and because of that, that might be an opportunity in the future.
Okay, so it's not in the near future, but could be some time. Okay, and regarding San Pedro, do you have any color that you can give to us about when it's going to enter?
As we mentioned, I think on the call and also on the documents for the earnings release, we are still working in the environmental impact assessment study, and our intention is to submit that study during this year. Depending on that, you could then estimate a date for commissioning and construction, but all we can say as for today is that we're working on the study and we're planning to do so this year.
Great. And then regarding the international expansion, is it possible for you to give us some kind of color about what are you expecting, if there's any project that you foresee for the coming future? Can you talk a little bit about that issue, please?
Sure, sure. So basically, as we've done over the past, I would say, 2 years, we are looking at mainly Peru and Colombia at the first possible destinations. Reason for that, as mentioned before, it's the fit that we see in terms of economic environment, regulatory framework, and the growth potential in the energy market that those two countries hold. Other than that, we are still trying to prioritize brownfields over greenfields, meaning assets under construction. And our intention is to perform this expansion, again, prioritizing partnerships with local and international players. Having said that, we try to analyze every potential option in its merit and try to see everything that is available that fits with that strategy.
Okay. And finally, my final question, sorry, it's about your clients. One of the things that concerns about Colbún is that you are very concentrated in your free customers. You have only Codelco and Anglo American as clients, and the contract with Anglo American is going to end in 2020. So you will be full allocated in Codelco. What are you doing to reduce the risk of concentration in this issue, in this matter?
As you mentioned, that is correct. The Anglo American contract was indeed awarded to another generator. What I can say is that based on our generation capacity and generation mix, we are, I would say, addressing all types of customers, not only unregulated but also regulated. We see a lot of potential on the unregulated customers. First of all, because in our read, there is a significant volume to be recontracted over the next, 3 to 4 years. And because of the relationships we hold with those clients, we are engaging, I would say, in several discussions with those clients, trying to see if there is an opportunity to enter into those contracts. But this is an ongoing effort, I would say.
Yeah, there is a new that came today or yesterday about new contracts at around $55 that you and Gener were the two companies that are going to provide that contract. Is that true? Is that correct?
So two things. We cannot comment on things that appear in the press. Moreover, specifically for unregulated customers, we have confidentiality clauses that does not allow the company to disclose any particular issues on those contracts, if any.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I'm sorry for the many questions. Okay.
Thank you very much. The next question is coming from the line of Andrew McCarthy. Your line is open. Please proceed.
Oh, good morning, or good afternoon, Sebastian and Miguel and team. Thanks for the call and the questions. My first question was on the fourth quarter results. We saw that the average realized price in the non-regulated segment grew by something like 20% versus the prior quarter. I was just talking there about the average monomic price. I was just wondering if you can, you know, to the extent you can, provide any insights into what happened there, and also how we should be thinking about that price going forward? Thanks.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for your question. This is Miguel. So first of all, as you mentioned, revenues on this particular segment did increase by about 15% year over year, 16 versus 15. In second place, I can comment that figures for this year do incorporate the effects of a particular indexation with an unregulated customer according to the terms of that agreement. Moreover, due to confidentiality clauses, we cannot comment further details about this particular contract, the amount involved, the specific indexator, or the recurrence of this effect going forward.
Okay. So, just in terms of that recurrence point, I mean, how should we be thinking about that in the future, though? Because obviously, it makes, you know, over it added something like $20 million of EBITDA, I think, in the quarter. So if you annualize that, that's potentially $80 million of EBITDA additional, if it is recurrent or not. So, I mean, how should we be sort of looking at that? Because it obviously makes quite a big difference.
I completely understand your point, but again, unfortunately, this being an unregulated customer, we cannot disclose any details about that specific part or any of the contract.
Okay, understood. Many thanks.
Okay.
Currently, we don't have any incoming questions. Just to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone. We have one more incoming question. The next question is coming from the line of David Galante. Your line is open. Please proceed.
Thank you. Hello, Sebastian, Miguel, and the whole team. Congratulations on the results, and thank you for taking my question. I was wondering, in Peru, we saw during the year the generation in Phoenix Power going up every quarter. So do you think that the level we saw in the last quarter is the normal level for Phoenix Power, and should we expect this generation around 1,200 gigawatts per quarter during this year?
Hi, David, and thanks for your question. As I think we try to express in our documents, 2016 was somehow unusual in terms of generation for Phoenix for at least two reasons. One is that we had a maintenance that lasted for about 40 days. That is, I would say, beyond what you would expect in the long term, and that affected generation figures. In second place, there's also a situation linked to the price declaration, variable cost declaration, of another generator in the system. This is another declaration that also affected the dispatched order during the first half of the year. I would say that if you would like to perhaps forecast figures for the long term, you could use something close to the second half, or moreover, something more linked to the third quarter of previous year, of 2016, I mean.
Okay, thanks. That's very helpful. Second question, if I may. Do you expect, how do you see the pricing environment in Peru right now, and do you expect to close any bilateral or PPA during this year?
Same as in Colbún, we are also in Phoenix in an ongoing process of setting a long-term level of PPAs, of energy contracts, that matches the expected output for the power plant. Having said that, I don't see any material difference in the short term to which has been the situation throughout the year on long-term prices in Peru, especially linked on one side to gas availability and on the other, hydrology.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for the question. Currently, we don't have any other incoming question. We have one more incoming question. The next question is coming from the line of Andrew McCarthy. You can proceed. Your line is open.
Thanks very much. Just one follow-up question, if I may. Just wanted to have a general idea from yourselves on how you're viewing EBITDA in Chile in 2017. Just in general terms, maybe sort of more qualitatively, you know, what you're thinking about in terms of how that will evolve based on sort of latest views on hydrology, where you are with your gas supply contracts, with your, you know, evolution of your PPAs. Maybe you could talk, even if it's not quantitatively, but a bit qualitatively about how you expect that to evolve in 2017 versus last year. That'd be great. Thanks.
Hi, Andrew again. This is Miguel. So first of all, unfortunately, we cannot provide guidance on EBITDA as we have never done so. What I can tell you is that 2016, in terms of margin, EBITDA margin, I think it's a good reference, in which we achieved 45% of EBITDA margin, while at the same time we were able to do so despite of the really poor hydrology conditions that presented throughout the whole year in the system. And also at the same time the significant access to get LNG at competitive levels. So I think that's a good way to approach this number. We cannot say more than that, unfortunately.
No, that's understood. Okay, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Currently, we don't have any incoming questions.
Okay, so if this is Sebastian again, if there are no more questions, I would like to thank everyone for joining this conference call, and we hope to see you all again in the next quarter review, and I wish you a very good weekend to all. So bye-bye from Colbún's side.